Hello and welcome to Quote Unquote Guilty, the only guilty pleasure podcast with air quotes in the title. I am your host, Joe Sanders, and I'm joined today once again by Kimber Barrett. How are you doing, Kimber?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to talk about this one, another fun one for us.
Yeah, it's. I watched it the other night. That was the first time I watched it since Robin Williams died. That was my in memoriam Robin, or one of my in memoriam Robin Williams things. I also watched the episode of Louie he was in. Right away.
Nice.
Because, you know, it seemed fitting. but yeah, today we're talking about Death to Smoochie from 2002?
Yes.
Man, I can't believe it's that old already. That's
yeah, I know.
That's the
crazy.
Weirdest part. Yeah. So why did you want to do this, Kimber? Why did you want to talk about Death to Smoochie?
Death to Smoochie has been one of those movies that I've always thought was hilarious, but a lot of other people never seem to be aware of even its existence. Like, I'll quote the movie. It's very quotable. And people just, like, look at me like I have three eyes. And I kind of feel like this is the perfect chance to just talk about a movie that is, one, painfully underrated. Like, it has... Ebert gave it half a star. It's got a 42% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's a movie that, like, a lot of people just didn't get. So I thought that it'd be great to talk about why it's such a great movie.
Yeah, it's definitely... unusual, but this plays right into my wheelhouse. Like, I love dark comedy, and just the idea of doing like a mob gangster movie about children's show hosts is exactly what I'm looking for in a movie.
Yeah, and I love it. Like, I have a fixation with stuff like puppets and like costumes, and I love like the big foam costumes. There's just something like from my childhood that really attached to like Kermit the Frog and stuff like that. So it's extra funny to me to have especially such a great cast and Danny DeVito directing on this weird dark comedy that's about children's television. It's just, it's so like specific to things that I'm interested in, you know?
Yeah. And then tonally, it's just, it's so profane and grotesque. And I don't know. It makes me happy. And I watched it the other night to prepare for this. And I was like, this is an amazing film. It always has been.
Yeah. Almost I don't get John Watersy.
Yeah, just very absurd and, you know, kind of an experiment.
Yeah, for sure. I think when Ebert wrote his review of this movie, he said that, like, everybody involved must have been really, or, like, it took a lot of talent to make a movie this bad, but that just sounds like something I would like anyways.
That is, yeah, that's actually a pretty glowing review from my perspective. Now, I don't think this was, like, intended to be bad, and that's where the comedy comes from, but I have seen things that are intentionally terrible because that's what the comedy is derived from.
Yeah.
And that's actually really impressive to do.
Yeah, sorry. It was definitely, like, meant to be super over the top and kind of, like, in-your-face offensive, but I don't think it was meant to be, like, a bad movie. Like, it obviously had some budget to it and a great cast.
Yeah, just terrific cast. Besides Robin Williams, got Edward Norton and Catherine Keener and Jon Stewart. Terrific people all. And Danny DeVito himself, yep, in front of the camera as well as behind.
Yeah, Harvey Fierstein. Like, there's a lot of people of this time in this movie.
Yeah, I love Harvey Fierstein.
Yeah, he's great as the, like, corrupt Parade of Hope guy.
Yeah, you don't mess with the Parade of Hope. They're the most dangerous of all the charities or something like that. So the movie opens with a broadcast of the Rainbow Randolph show, and that's Robin Williams' character. He's at the peak of his popularity as Rainbow Randolph, and, you know, he sings that great Friends Come in All Sizes song.
Love it.
Which is so just tap your foot and fun, and to watch Robin Williams play this character is phenomenal. And then it all comes crashing down when he gets busted extorting money to get kids in the spotlight, to, like, feature certain kids in the show.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the musical numbers are really great and that no one else but Robin Williams could have played this role. I think there's a lot of his comedy where he's too goofy and over the top to the point where it's distracting and a little unenjoyable in some of his stuff.
Yeah.
But I think he really hits the mark for the style of this movie.
Absolutely, because he plays the Rainbow Randolph persona so perfectly, but he also plays the, you know, beaten down Randy insane character perfectly. So getting that spectrum of a character here is really fun to watch and really shows off his range and his skill and really makes you miss him a lot.
Oh yeah, for sure. This is in my top three favorite movies of his. And I do like that you bring up the point that not only is he great as Rainbow Randolph, but we also get to see like his descent into madness.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he definitely gets worse as he goes along. And it's really fun to watch the way that he plays it.
Oh, now I've lost my train of thought. Oh, I was going to say that it's a happy coincidence talking to it with you because we previously did Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And yes. We talked about how Jim Carrey was offered the role of Zaphod in mm-hmm. Hitchhiker's Guide. He was also offered the role of Rainbow Randolph.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I'm glad that it was Robin Williams.
Me too.
Is what I'm going to say.
I can't imagine Jim Carrey doing this role and giving it the nuance that Williams has. He would just go insane and be, you know, he would just be the same character throughout, whether he's on screen or off. Yeah. Jim Carrey would have just played the Riddler. He would have just played Ace Ventura through the entire thing. He wouldn't have any subtlety to it. It would have been a very standard role for Jim Carrey that he phones in, whereas Robin Williams obviously gave it a lot of thought and really built this character.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't be as special if it was Jim Carrey, because we've seen Robin Williams do things like one-hour photo, where he's doing like very serious, like dark roles, and there is a bit of that to Rainbow Randolph for sure.
I also like the questions of Rainbow Randolph's sexuality throughout the movie. Like, he's constantly making these homophobic remarks, and I think the intent is just to reveal his own confusion about his own sexuality, which I think is really funny.
Yeah, I definitely see a little bit of that in there. For sure, like, in real life, people who make homophobic comments are obviously, like, having issues with their own sexuality.
Absolutely.
They wouldn't even be bothering with that. So, yeah, I guess we mostly see that in the cab scene where they're in the cab together.
Yeah, where he's as this Scottish, I don't even know what, event planner. He's, like, talking about how terrible Rainbow Randolph is and bashing his alleged sexuality. And yeah, that whole cab scene's really funny.
Yeah, I guess we should first of all talk about the juxtaposition of Rainbow Randolph's character to Sheldon, who plays Smoochie.
Yeah.
Because the whole reason they wanted Sheldon is because he has this squeaky clean image. He's a really nice guy. He like eats health food. He performs at the methadone clinic in his free time on Coney Island.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just perfect to balance out how Randolph is, because Randolph really wants to like expose him. Like, he genuinely believes that there's like everybody has like this darkness in them and you can just find that weak spot. But Sheldon doesn't really have one. He actually just seems to be like a really sweet dude who cares a lot.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Randolph is trying to expose a darkness. He seems to constantly be manufacturing darkness. Like, he recognizes that this is a good guy, that he's not going to have any skeletons in his closet. So he's like, well, I have to do something to make him look bad. And that's the only way to take him down. So then we have the penis cookies and we have the Nazi rally. What? Yeah. So it's just him trying to create a dark persona for Sheldon, like cast him in a bad light and take him down that way. And it's just gold.
I want to give props to Robin Williams for listing off the most hilarious list of alternative names for a penis that I've ever heard.
I think the one that always stands out to me is One-Eyed Wonder Weasel.
Yeah, I like Rumpel Foreskin.
Yeah, Rumpel Foreskin.
And although, Mr. Jiggle Daddy. That's on the top of the list, too.
Although there's also something really funny about him, like, to the kid saying, it's a cock! It's a cock and balls!
it's the way he goes, like, balls! Like,
it did raise a question for me. Like, isn't Smoochie live? Like, they record it live. So all of that, you know, would have happened on real TV live.
Just makes it funnier.
Yeah. Raises the stakes. Anything can happen on live TV.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they seem to deal with, like, a lot on this children's television channel, for sure. Like, a lot quickly of, like, scandals.
Yeah, I mean, it's a running joke that this is kind of, like, all these television personalities, these guys come in, they get rich and famous, it corrupts them, and then they do something horrible. Like, later, of course, we have Buggy Ding Dong, who is a opium addict, and that's ended his children's television career. And I think they list off a few other ones, like when they're trying to find a replacement for Randolph, they're talking about like how this one guy's a wife beater, this other guy, I don't remember, I think there was a girl in there who, like, turned out to be prostitute.
Even Nora's, like, a groupie.
Yeah, she's
to the like, kiddie stars. So it, like, extends out to even the management is super corrupt, and everyone involved seems to be corrupt.
Yeah, because Jon Stewart, too, he's right in the pocket of the Parade of Hope, and he wants to take Smoochie down like everyone else. But, like, he found Smoochie. He found the most squeaky clean guy he could. And then he seems upset that he got exactly what he was looking for.
Yeah, I think they were looking for somebody, like, innocent that they could kind of, like, lead to do what they wanted. And they didn't realize that he wasn't gonna, like, his ethics weren't gonna allow him to just play ball with, you know, with them how a lot of these other guys, like Rainbow Randolph, did, you know?
Right. I love it. I love Jon Stewart in this, when he used to act. He's very Jon Stewart-like, but I don't know, there's something very charming about him in general.
Yeah, I thought he was great. Like, he kind of had, like, ongoing jokes on his Jon Stewart, like, on the show, and he would, like, crack jokes about how he was in this and how he was in Big Daddy, but I love this and Big Daddy. I think he's good in both of them.
I think maybe he's the best part of Big Daddy, but certainly great in this. I love, he made a joke when he hosted the Oscars one time where he was like, he introduced himself like, "Hi, I'm Jon Stewart, the fourth billed male lead in Death to Smoochie, so go rent that."
Death to Smoochie is good. He should be proud.
Yeah, I hope everyone's proud of this. It is really good.
Yeah, I was surprised to find out that Danny DeVito directed it, but that totally makes sense.
Yeah, I think I always knew that. I was like, oh, Danny DeVito directs movies? Cool. And then watched it. It's like, oh, cool. Danny DeVito directs great movies.
Yeah, for sure. I also, I think in the plot, we would be getting on to where Randolph shows up at Angelo's house. Yeah. Angelo is the little person, is one of his side characters on his show, and then he moved over to Smoochie's show after he was fired.
What do they call them? It was like a crinkle kid, and then he was a Ryanette.
Crinkle kid.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's when we, I think, really start to see Rainbow Randolph falling apart. He, like, gets kind of aggressive with Angelo. He wants to stay there. He seems really desperate. And he says a comment about how the devil sent Smoochie from hell to destroy him, and that Smoochie is the face of evil.
Yeah.
Which is obviously hilarious, because he couldn't be any less the face of evil.
The irony of it's palpable. His whole paranoid, you know, delusions about Sheldon and this massive conspiracy to take him down is really funny to me throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, because everything he does, he completely does to himself.
Yeah. It's all his fault. He is wholly to blame. And, like, so many people in that position, so many, like, narcissistic people like this just can't see their own faults and have to project it onto other people and create these conspiracies. Well, it can't be a problem with me. It must be the entire world around me out to get me.
Oh, yeah. He feels very real. He feels like an exaggerated character of people that I've actually known in my life.
Yeah, exaggerated, but like you said, it feels like he could be a real person. Like, even though he's animated and over the top with it, it was like, there's a person like that in the real world, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And it feels like very much like he has to perform. Like, that's why he's so desperate, because I feel like the only time that Rainbow Randolph likes himself is when he's on stage. And that's why he gets very, like, doing impressions all the time and breaking into song, because he doesn't know how to turn it off, because that's when he's the only time I think he's really happy.
Yeah. And, you know, watching it with the context of his suicide, it lends a whole new light to it, with Robin Williams, you know, real life struggle with depression and, you know, suicidal ideation. And then to watch this and, like, man, he's just drawing on this deep within himself and trying to, you know, keep it real, but it feels like he's toning it down. It's not like a Robin Williams genie from Aladdin performance, where it's just like a joke a second and an impersonation a second. There's something more grounded to this than you tend to see from Robin Williams in a comedy.
Yeah, and like I said, I think this is exactly why he was better than Jim Carrey would have been, because I do think a lot of his personal struggle was coming through in this performance, especially, like, with the context that we do have at this point.
Yeah.
But I think that's why he was so good. Like, I really believed him when I watched this.
Yeah, it'd be hard for me to imagine anyone else doing this role. or the Sheldon role, frankly. I mean, it's an unusual role for Edward Norton, but he kills it.
I love him. He's great in everything.
I tend to really like Edward Norton too, and I wouldn't expect him to do something like this, to like put on a big fluffy suit and dance around and sing. Like, from what I know about Edward Norton, that just seems like something he would stay away from at all costs.
He has a great look for it though. Like, he looks so sweet and innocent in this movie.
Yeah. He's got these great facial expressions. Like, I love when they first cast him and they're doing the smoochy construction of the actual smoochy suit and measuring him, and he's got this super serious look on his face until they like measure his waist or his hips and the kind of graze his penis, and he gets this weird like side-eyed look on his face like no one's ever touched him there before. It's really sweet.
Yeah, he's excellent. I think the next major point we get to is Sheldon gets into a bit of an argument with Nora, who is Catherine Keener's character.
Yeah.
And he goes into his office to be alone, and he sees Tommy Cotter there, who we meet. She is the leader of the Irish mob locally, and she wants him to feature her, I believe it's her cousin, Spinner Dunn, who is a punch-drunk former boxer with a sweet childlike disposition who is a big fan of Smoochie. She wants him to feature him on the show. So she kind of puts a squeeze on him a little bit.
Yeah. Spinner's great. I think I've only ever seen that actor, Michael Rispoli, in one other movie, and that is Rounders, which also stars Edward Norton.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything really else I've ever seen him in, but he's great, especially in this as Spinner. He's so funny.
Yeah, I love Tommy. I love the whole, one of my favorite scenes is when he's like, "Do you have the hammer?" And he's like, "I always have the hammer, Tommy."
I love when in the scene we're talking about where she first comes into Sheldon's office to try and get Spinner on the show, and he's like, "Well, I don't really think there's, you know, I don't really think he'd be very good at it." And then she does the whole, "I'm very sad. Oh, what's making you sad? Oh, I don't like to say names." It's just a really...
She like scratches her nose and like points her finger at him.
Yeah. Great. "I'm just very sad." It's all great.
Oh, it's so good. Also in the plot around this part, we get to see that is played by Danny DeVito, who's kind of like his equally crappy manager.
Mm-hmm.
Is also kind of involved with the Parade of Hope thing, and that he also wants him to get involved, and Sheldon like persists that he doesn't sell out, but then kind of immediately puts Spinner in his show.
Yeah. It's the whole theme to the movie is the corruption of the Sheldon character. Yeah. So it's like where he's willing to make compromises and how that goes too far, and then in the end it's him kind of reclaiming his morality from the jaws of this industry. But
yes,
the Spinner thing is a bit of a sellout. It is a bit of a compromise of his morals.
But I think he's coming from a good place too, because even when he's selling out, he'll put Spinner on the show, but only because like also Spinner really loves it and he feels like he's doing something nice for him. And even when he agrees to do the ice show, it's under certain circumstances where he wants to make it about something that's a positive thing.
Yeah, it's a good note where he puts Spinner on the show because Spinner's a fan of the show. Because at that point, you can think of it like him putting any of the kids in the show. Like, these kids come and they audition, they like the show, want to be on the show, and Spinner's basically another one of those kids, and that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, like when Randolph was taking bribes to put kids on the show, he didn't even care to see which kid he's putting on the show. He was just wanting them to show him the money.
Yeah.
But when he put Spinner on, like, he seemed to like develop a really nice friendship with Spinner and like actually really care about Spinner a lot, you know?
It's another good point, so is that he doesn't take money to put Spinner on the show. Although he's not really offered money. It'd be interesting if he was offered money and he said no, and then they threatened to beat him up, and he's like, "Fine, I'll put him on the show, but I'm not taking money for it." It's like, Spinner's a good guy, I'm sure we can find something for him. I think that might have been a better way for it to play out, but I do like it.
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just see the good in Sheldon. I don't think they ever like truly broke him, even though he does have a moment, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Yeah.
Where things get a little out of hand.
he has some interesting moments where his dark side shows. And it really complicates his character in interesting ways.
Yeah, you see him kind of snap at Nora in the beginning of the movie. He gets, like, pissed and yells for a minute, and then he's kind of like, okay, I'm not gonna do this. I'm gonna relax. And he gets out of it, but we do see him, like, fully snap later on.
Yeah,
the... After the Nazi rally thing.
Oh, okay. What's that snap? What snap are you referring to at the Nazi rally?
I'm talking about it towards the, after the ice skating show and everything.
Oh, okay, but yeah. After the ice show, yeah.
We should talk about the Nazi rally, because that's definitely a turning point.
I did want to mention really quickly with the scene with Nora in her office where he starts to yell at her. He almost calls her a bitch, and then he stops himself. It's actually a little unnerving to me how he represses that. He's like, he stops himself and then just swallows it down. You're like, dude, that's going to explode. You're going to give yourself a brain tumor.
And then it kind of, like, does explode later.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, I feel like anyone who's so, like, happy-go-lucky like that all the time is definitely repressed. And he kind of epitomizes that. Like, again, exaggeration of a very different type of character.
Anyway, it's so great, his subtlety in the performance, because again, and they even has a line about it where he mentions being ordered to take anger management in college, and we don't get anything else about that backstory. It's just like he has a very troubled, angry past that he has worked to treat, I guess, or again, repress in possibly unhealthy ways. So just, there's a lot of stuff in there that really complicates him, and you don't get your hand held through it. You get to read into it what you want. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I like that a lot too. And I feel like that's why a lot of people didn't get this movie, because you really have to, like, think about this movie to appreciate all of the subtleties that are going on. I think a lot of people just want in your face, like, just story, obvious, you know, and this doesn't give you that. This has a lot that you have to, like, take in when you're watching it and appreciate to really enjoy.
Terrific stuff. I also spotted a typo on the KidNet advertising. When they put up the Smoochie billboard, and I thought maybe I saw it wrong, but they show the same billboard later, like when it's being taken down. And it says every day on KidNet, but it's every day one word and not every day two words. So KidNet has what they have coming with glaring typos like that.
Nice.
I noticed that for the first time watching it the other day, and I wanted to make a note of that.
Yeah, I do like those. I think they might have two scenes like that where they have the scrolling news in the background, and you get a lot of information just by reading what's on there.
Yeah, I've always found it distracting in the final scene. I always find myself reading the thing rather than listening to the final scene between Sheldon and Nora.
Nice.
Yeah.
But we talked about the cab scene earlier. What do you think about Randolph's plan with this Nazi rally?
I mean, it's definitely creative to lure your archenemy to a Nazi rally. I'm more interested, I kind of want to see the scene where he convinces the Nazis that it's a good idea to have Smoochie the Rhino as, like, a spokesman for them, as a representation of their ideals.
Looking to get, like, hook people young or something, which is, like, a horrible thought.
Oh, but that's a good point, yeah. It's like, if we can get Smoochie, we can get the kids on his show. Yeah, that's really good.
They were definitely hiling Smooch, which is a ridiculous, over-the-top moment.
Yeah.
I loved how the lights were off and they just came on in a dramatic fashion. And somehow there's, like, already photographers there.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. They had, like, I imagine Randolph also set that up.
Yeah.
It's like, I heard Smoochie the Rhino's talking at this Nazi rally. You should probably go down there and check it out.
Yeah, I could see him doing that. He's just the worst.
He is. And yet his reversal at the end where he becomes Sheldon's friend, I think, is totally organic and earned.
Yeah, they definitely went through a lot, but I think he kind of grew to respect Sheldon. Sheldon's an easy guy to like, I think.
Yeah, so as soon as he, like, talks to him man to man without the facades, you know, he recognizes he's a good guy and he just, you know, is an actor on TV trying to do a job. And yeah, it's really sweet.
Yeah, he, like, took away, like, okay, well, let me just look at this as a guy instead of, like, a symbol of my destruction.
Right.
So, yeah, after the Nazi rally, he loses his job, and they just kind of replace him with cartoon reruns.
Yeah. He also seems to be living on the street because he runs into Nora on the street, like, dressed in rags.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that, like, if I were the star of a popular TV show and making a bunch of money, I can't imagine just, like, immediately spending all that money. Like, I would set it aside.
I don't know. That happened with Randolph too. I guess that they just do that to show like how bad it gets for them after they lose their job and the corporate penthouse and everything.
I guess it's just this, they're trying to play on this naivete that, you know, this kiddie show is going to last forever. But yeah, it seemed odd to me. It seems believable to me that Randolph would piss away all his money as fast as he makes it. But yeah. Sheldon's like a much more responsible guy. He's like, why is he living on the streets? Or maybe he's just in disguise to try and get to Nora, would maybe be a better way for me to justify it.
Yeah, maybe he also has like a corrupt, evil manager.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe Burke has some sort of clause in the contract where he gets so much money in case of, you know, immorality.
Yeah, because Burke is very sketchy. He gives Sheldon a gun.
Yeah.
And he's, I think he calls it like a tool of the trade, like a tool of the business that he's getting into.
Yeah, which doesn't raise any red flags for Sheldon. He's so wonderfully naive about all of this.
Oh, yeah, he definitely is.
He just sees the good in people, which I think is a relatable, fun trait.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he even sees the good in Randolph, and I think that that's why they're able to bond, because Randolph isn't used to people trying to see the good in him.
Yeah, absolutely. People treat Randolph like shit and they take advantage of him, but he accepts that because that's kind of how he sees himself.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So after the Nazi thing, Spinner's heart is broken that he doesn't get to be on the show anymore. So Nora actually asks Tommy Cotter, who is Spinner's cousin, for help, and they squeeze Randolph for information about the Nazi thing. And they find out that Randolph has framed Smoochie, and Smoochie is back.
Yep, just like that. So it's good to have It's good to have friends in the Irish mob looking out for you.
That's the real lesson of the story.
I'll rush right out and befriend some mobsters.
Yeah, I also love that, like, on his triumphant return to the show, he comes out, like, wrapped in an American flag.
Yeah. Just really hamming it up. America, yay.
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
At one point, Randolph is screaming at Smoochie on TV. This might be before the Nazi rally. And he destroys the television. He starts saying things like bastard son of Barney and illegitimate Teletubby, which I thought was really funny.
I feel like some of that at least had to have been improvised, too.
Yeah, I'm betting whenever Robin Williams goes off on a tirade like that, it's just like in the script says Robin Williams vamps. Robin Williams does some stuff.
To see like all the alternate like things that he said that didn't make it into the final cut for these scenes.
Yeah, I bet that would be great. I don't know if there's anything like that on the DVD. I didn't look at special features.
Yeah, I think that's when Angelo ends up kicking him out of his apartment too, so then he's once again homeless.
Yeah, and then he attacks a guy who's trying to raise money to save the African black rhino.
Yeah. So ridiculous. It's like every scene that he's out on the streets interacting with people who aren't main characters are hilarious.
Yeah.
Because I love when he frames Smoochie successfully and he's like running down the street, like, and he says to the baby, he's like, the rhino's a Nazi, and the baby starts crying.
Oh, that's during his amazing like tap dancing sequence. When he's celebrating Sheldon's downfall and tap dancing through the streets.
Punch. It's so good.
And maybe my favorite shot in the movie where he runs into the brick wall and the camera just keeps moving.
Yes.
That is good, so terrific.
Everyone, that's classic physical comedy right there.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that. It's so funny.
I think following this, Sheldon does agree to do the ice show, but he wants all the Parade of Hope to be cut out of the deal.
Yeah.
And that all the proceeds go straight to charity.
Yeah, that's right. He's going to provide all the snacks himself. And the profits from the ticket sales are going to be split between like rebuilding a methadone clinic and I don't remember what the other charity is.
But yeah, I like how Sheldon tries to play the game, but he also wants to like deal with this stuff on his own terms.
Yeah, again, that naivete that he can dictate what's going to happen and people are just going to go along with it.
Yeah.
And of course, that's how Spinner ends up then being shot to death mistakenly, is they think he's Sheldon.
He gets to have this character on the show. He gets upgraded and he plays, he gets a costume and he plays Smoochie's cousin, Moochie.
Yeah, which I thought was a funny name.
What was that?
I thought it was a funny name, just mooching off the show, Moochie.
Yeah, right. Again, like a little joke within the joke.
Yeah.
But yeah, their costumes look very similar and he ends up getting shot accidentally, being mistaken for Smoochie, tragically.
And the guys who beat him up and shoot him, like, are defending their mistake to Harvey Fierstein. It's like, they look fucking identical. And Fierstein's like, Moochie is burgundy. Smoochie is fuchsia. How the fuck you don't tell the difference?
It's great.
I thought it was sad that Moochie was only on one episode.
Yeah, that is very sad.
He gets to be on one episode and he's celebrating, and then he's horribly beaten to death and shot in the head. That's really sad.
Yeah, so then we're at Spinner's funeral, and Tommy wants to kill Randolph because she's convinced that he's behind it. And she also offers Sheldon protection because Spinner would have wanted it that way, she says.
Yeah, so he's made a powerful ally for life there through Spinner.
Yeah, for sure. So then Angelo gets interviewed by the cops. They come by his place because Randolph's stuff is there, and they go through his stuff. And I think, is that the way that Tommy finds out that the Parade of Hope was involved?
That could be, yeah. And then it's this really interesting montage of her talking to Sheldon, and then like these kind of shadowy cutaways to her interrogating Fierstein. And he's like, oh, you like stories, do you? Tell him the one about the worthless prick who gets his head chopped off by an axe. Fantastic line.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorite scenes, I think, in the movie. Yeah. That moment's just really unique and cool. And Sheldon's obviously, like, terrified by this.
Yeah, he doesn't want to know any of this. He doesn't want to be involved. It doesn't so much that he's upset that the Parade of Hope has been cut out of the process, if you'll pardon the pun. But yeah, he's very upset by the whole thing. The necessity of it, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I think he wanted them punished, but I don't think he realized to what extent that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And now Danny DeVito's character and Jon Stewart's are starting to panic.
Yeah, because they can't control this rhino. They can't kill him. They can't control him. They're powerless.
Yeah. They do end up calling in Buggy Ding Dong, who we talked about earlier, who is the heroin addict, former child star. And they try to get him involved for some reason to help try to kill Smoochie again at this ice show.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's like, why get Buggy? Why not hire like a professional killer to take out Smoochie instead of this, yeah, heroin addict, I think, or opium addict. I think it was specifically heroin. Hey, yeah. He had a line about all the poppies in Asia, and I thought, is heroin made of like opiates as well? That makes sense.
Yeah, because I do think that Nora says something like, oh, he was a child star until he discovered the pleasures of black tar heroin.
Sure, yeah, okay.
So I think it confirmed that it is heroin.
Seems like an unreliable assassin.
Yeah, totally, which we do end up seeing because he's kind of like nodding off.
Yeah, he falls
during
asleep.
The assassination, yep. Attempt.
Just ridiculous. Buggy's a fun character, though.
Yeah, he's
like,
great.
He's just watching him makes you feel like you need a shower. He's so gross. He's just,
yeah, the actor is like perfect for it.
Yeah, one of those great character actors that I couldn't tell you his name or really anything else he's been in, but you see in a ton of stuff.
I actually wrote it down. His name is Vincent Schiavelli.
Uh-huh.
And he had passed since this movie came out, but did play a lot of great character roles in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who just always turns up and is terrific and memorable.
So now we have a scene where Nora is warning Sheldon about Buggy, and as she's doing that, Randolph pops up in his rainbow jacket, and he has a gun.
We have not talked about Rainbow Randolph's amazing rainbow jacket.
He looks great.
It's incredible. It's awesome. Like, if I could buy that, if I could afford to buy Rainbow Randolph's rainbow jacket, I would have it.
I feel like I should make one. Maybe that'll be my next cosplay.
Oh, that's Randolph. That's a good one. Yeah.
No one will know who I am, but it'll give me an excuse to talk about this movie more to people.
Oh, I think people will know. We'll spot a Rainbow Randolph cosplay. I would hope so.
I would hope.
I don't want to live in a world where that's too obscure.
Right? That's why we're getting this out there. It's the people need to know.
Oh, God. And that scene, and we talked a little bit about this, like where they become friends, a scene where he confronts Sheldon in the penthouse, his former penthouse, with the gun. And I love when he's singing the Rainbow Randolph song, and then he just breaks into tears.
So hilarious.
Rainbow Randolph is the man. Yes, oh yes, he is. He's the prince of Rainbow Land. Yes, oh yes, he is. With some fun, fun here, laugh, laugh there. Hear a dance, there a song, everywhere is fun, fun. Rainbow Randolph is the king. La, la, la,
la. It's hilarious and heartbreaking. It's just, it's this movie summed up into one minute is that scene of him singing Rainbow Randolph and breaking down.
It is the low.
Yeah, exactly.
And it gets like very sad.
It's like he can barely get out the la la la's through his sobs. Oh my god, it's heartbreaking. Just
he's
terrific.
So good though. He really gives an excellent performance.
Absolutely.
And that this again is the scene that it's confirmed that Nora's kind of a groupie. He says, "You're just another action figure for her collection."
Yeah.
Is what the way Randolph puts it. But they kind of like get through that really quick, and the scene does turn into being more about Randolph becoming friends with Sheldon.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually let Randolph stay there at his place.
Did you think it was too quick for him to get over like Nora's past?
You know what? Like, Sheldon just seems like that type of guy.
I was going to say that too, yeah.
He also was dealing with a lot of things in that moment because they were like rushing out the door, loading a gun to go to this ice show.
Yep.
So it could be about the timing of it too. Like maybe he's just like, I'll deal with this later. Like it was before she met me.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like, how can I judge her for who she decided to date or sleep with before I even met her? So I feel like it's very mature of him to be like, oh no, I get why this, why society tells me this should be a problem, but of course it's not a problem.
Yeah. So, Sheldon is woke.
He's woke. He's very progressive, Sheldon. He's a progressive guy. With his gluten-free buns and his alfalfa spray.
Right.
Liquid alfalfa. That's what it was. Blast off time.
Yeah. It looks gross, too.
Yeah, the whatever the stuff he puts on the hot dog looks absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, it looks really awful. The hot dog itself looks awful.
Yeah.
Too.
Apparently Edward Norton invented that concoction like for the character. He's like, what would he eat on his hot dog? And he like whipped that up.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I did not know
that. Yeah, I just read that on the IMDb trivia.
Cool.
By the way, this has like some of the worst taglines I've ever seen for any movie.
Oh yeah?
So there's like four of them I found on IMDb. And the first one is, it's a kid's show with gangsters, bribery, and corruption, which is pretty generic. And then... Yeah. The next one is, get ready for an unexpected hit, which someone just phoned that in on a Friday afternoon before going to
right?
bed, before going home. This one's really weird. He's big, he's blue, he's smoochy, and he's got to die.
He's not blue.
He's not blue, and apparently in the script he was meant to be orange, but I can't find anything about he was intended to be blue. Unless they were like,
weird.
Barney? Wait, isn't Barney purple? I don't even know. And then the last one is, it's the rhino versus the wino. With a little help from the mob.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of this movie's problem might have been that it was kind of misadvertised.
Yeah, marketing problems.
None of those suit really the tone of this. I feel like we could write better ones if you gave us 5 minutes.
Absolutely. I mean, I would be tempted just to take good quotes from the movie. Like, safari, yeah. Motherfucker! Safari! Not that you can put that on a billboard, but...
Yeah, for this movie is so quotable. It's kind of lame that that's the best they could come up with.
Yeah, in the scene with where we were talking about with Nora and Randolph and them being friends, he has a great line. Sheldon does about, you know, someone pass me a beach towel because my head is swimming.
Yeah,
I like that one a lot. It's really cute.
So then we're at the ice show, which is kind of like the big, I guess, the big set piece of the movie.
Yeah, and it's bizarre. Like, I love it. But it's so strange
yeah, it's really
that this
weird.
Ice show is in the movie. Or what they decided to do for the ice show is in the movie.
Yeah, it would be so traumatic for children to watch this ice show because it was like about Moochie's death and like
yeah.
all the things that have happened to him. It was kind of like telling his story of what's going on.
Yeah, these little demons like throwing money at him and chasing him around. Like if I was a little kid, like the Moochie TV show target audience for that and I went to that ice show, I'd be traumatized. I've been having nightmares for years from the smoochy ice show.
That being said, I would go.
As yeah, as an adult, I would totally go.
They should do that. I'm down. All
they
12
should.
Of us who care about this movie will go.
Yeah, they'll still do it in like a big arena. There's like 12 of us sitting around at various corners of this arena to watch the The Smoochy Ice Show recreated live. I like it.
I'm reading my notes here and I'm laughing because I'm saying they perform a weird interpretive dance and ice skating routine about all the events that have happened. It is inappropriate.
Not appropriate for all ages.
And we have kind of Buggy nodding in and out, trying to aim throughout this whole thing.
The ice show, the interesting thing to me about the ice show is that you so rarely see like a dumb show in movies. It's like an old like Renaissance era theater thing to have a dumb show where actors silently recreate something that's going on in the play or the play thus far or something like that. You don't really get that in movies, but that's basically what this is. It's just a dumb show. And I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, this movie, it's deep, man. Like, this movie did some really smart things, and I don't understand why people don't see the brilliance that's in it.
It baffles me as well. But as long as there's at least one other person I can talk to Smoochy about, then we're good.
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited to see anyone who responds about this, because we're just going to find out who all the Smoochy people are.
Yeah, I hope people like this. Or at least...
It's worth it for that alone.
People who listen to this show, for sure. This is my target audience. If you don't like Smoochy, I don't know what we're doing here, guys.
Right? That's like Guilty Pleasure's top 10 right there.
Yeah, it's an amazing film. It's so good, I didn't even recognize it as a Guilty Pleasure. That's how good it is. It's kind of, I think coincidentally, the same screenwriter did Lucky Numbers, which we also did on the show. And I also didn't realize how unpopular it was until someone, like my friend Jason, who wanted to do it for the show, brought it up. I was like, who doesn't like Lucky Numbers? And it has a way lower Rotten Tomatoes score than Smoochy. It's like 22%.
Oh, really?
Wow. Oh, yeah. That's a great movie, though. That's a really good one.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I'll definitely have to check it out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure same screenwriter, and it's John Travolta and Lisa Kudrow rigging a lottery. It's a really fun dark comedy like this one.
Nice. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
So at this point, Randolph has been informed of what's going on with Buggy, and he kind of bursts in full costume into the ice skating event. And people are like trying to stop him for pictures and stuff, and he's kind of like flailing this like weapon about, trying to get to the
That's right, he has his gun with him. Yeah, I love how popular Randolph is at the ice show. They're like, Rainbow Randolph, can I have a picture autograph? And he gets tied up in the fame of being Rainbow Randolph for a little bit before he can be bothered to go save Smoochy.
Yeah, I don't think he thought about the choice of keeping the coat on for description purposes. I think he just kind of like rushed out in a panic.
Yeah, he must have put the coat on, though, because I think when he gets the call from Angela, he's like in a bathrobe. Like he had a bath and he's relaxing and he's getting ready to
go. I think that's even worse.
Yeah.
He tried to put the coat on. That just shows vanity.
It could have been like not even thinking about it. Like, I was like, oh, it's cold out, I need a jacket. All I have is my Rainbow Randolph jacket. But
he does burst in and get up to the rafters, and he starts wrestling with Buggy. And Buggy goes to shoot, and I think that Randolph hits him, and so he hits the horn and blows the horn off of Smoochie's head.
Yeah, and Smoochy goes down, everyone panics, they don't know if Smoochie's been hit.
If the kids weren't traumatized, they certainly are now.
Yeah, I mean, if the rest of the super serious ice show didn't do it for him, I'm sure watching Smoochy be assassinated was definitely a tipping point.
And Rainbow Randolph is just hanging from the rafters for dear life.
Yeah.
While all of this is happening.
And then when Buggy falls, he has a line about how he never saw Venice. Is that a callback to something in the movie that I missed?
I don't think so. I just think it was like a strange random thought from like this drugged out weirdo.
Man, that's strange.
I do love that when the cops come up, they like are talking to Randall and they help him up and they ask him if he's okay. And he says one of my favorite lines in the movie, which is, I don't know. I'm kind of fucked up generally, so it's hard to gauge.
Yeah.
That's great. Like, that's his character right there.
That's everything. And then, of course, we have Sheldon's breaking point. He finds out that Burke tried to have him killed, that Burke's behind all of this. And he gets his gun, and he chases him out, and is about to blow his brains out. And it's just, we have this cool scene where he finally swears for the first time in the movie, I think.
Yes.
Because he says, you just fucked with the wrong rhino, I think.
There's a better tagline right there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But they just fucked with the wrong rhino. Tommy kind of appears out of nowhere and talks him out of it, like talks him down a bit.
Yeah, because if he shoots him, then he becomes him. And it's this real moral tipping point for Sheldon, where he can either keep his morals and keep who he is and be happy, or he can just dive into this world of corruption and evil and never look back. So it's a really great moment. I love when he rips off the Smoochie costume, so because he can't bear to shoot him as Smoochie. Like, it's all really well put together.
It's so symbolic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we didn't even mention the sex scene.
No, we didn't.
Oh yeah, a few scenes earlier, him and Nora finally cave to their carnal desires and have adorable sex, where she's ripping off his Smoochie costume, his like big Smoochie feet, as she's undressing behind this like partition. It's really cute.
Yeah, again, just like such a ridiculous premise for a scene in a movie that's full of ridiculous premises for scenes.
Yeah,
but it really comes together. Yeah, I mean, after this, like, Burke is pretty much dragged off to a horrible fate with the Irish mob, and Nora and Sheldon kiss in front of your scrolling news signs that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Well, and then we get to see the Randolph and Smoochie show.
Yeah, which is great, too.
And again, like, I think that show would probably do well because those two guys balance each other out, you know?
Oh, that's interesting, yeah. Because you don't see much of Rainbow Randolph as Rainbow Randolph. But he is this kind of larger-than-life, showy, performy, charismatic guy. And yeah, you could see how playing off of the kind of more reserved Smoochie would make for a really fun kids show. And I just like that they're on ice for the show. Like, they're ice skating.
Yeah, of course.
And the wire work, which must have been hell. I guarantee doing wire work in a Smoochie costume is the worst experience. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
Well, at least the movie did so well, so it was worth it, right?
Sorry, Edward Norton, but you almost won an Oscar those two times, so you got something.
Yeah, right. Oh. But I also think that, like, just as a thought, like, looking forward, it might make it a little easier for them to work with Sheldon if he has Randolph as his partner, because he's like he wheels and deals with financial stuff.
Yeah, and I think that Smoochie will keep Randolph from slipping into old habits.
Absolutely.
He's a good moral compass for him.
Yeah, they almost kind of need each other.
Yeah, that's a really good point that I never considered, is how off-screen they would be a great partnership.
Definitely. I love this movie. It's great. Anyone hasn't seen this movie, we spoiled the whole thing, but you should all watch it because it's excellent.
Yeah. Even though we spoiled it, go watch it. I don't think it takes that much away from it to know certain things that are going to happen.
You want to see these performances. They're really good.
You really, really need to see, Williams and Norton do their thing in this. Keener's great, too. Like, not to downplay Catherine Keener in this. She's always great.
Yes. I do. I'm going to find a way to shoehorn Death to Smoochie in when I do an argument on fan friction sometime.
What's the premise of fan friction?
Fan friction is like a movie debate show in the style of like the Junkies movie fights.
Okay.
So I'm the current fan friction champion.
So like mm-hmm. Is it like a theme and each person picks a movie and defends it kind of thing?
No, you get asked questions like, what's the best horror movie of all time?
Oh, okay.
Or like whatever question about pop culture, and then you debate about it.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so we went through the whole movie. Let me see if there's like little notes I have of things I wanted to bring up. We didn't talk about Randolph's self-immolation scene where he's going to light himself on fire in front of a crowd of people who seem weirdly okay with it, other than a little girl who stops him.
Yeah, I would suppose that that's meant to show the apathy of people, how people are desensitized.
That's a good point. It's like, We want to see something controversial and violent, and it's just happening in the real world instead of on my TV. That's the same thing, right? I like his line. I can no longer live in a world where the innocent suffer and the wicked thrive. Again, playing into this paranoid delusion he has about everyone out to get him.
And just showing you like how little of a grasp he has on the situation, because obviously he's wicked and Sheldon is a good guy, you know?
Yeah. There's some really interesting shots that DeVito puts together in this. I like when Sheldon realizes Nora is not his friend and he's practicing his confrontation with her in the street, and she walks out and they have their conversation, there's a shot of her with like a Virgin Mobile advertisement behind her, like to foreshadow her, you know, sleeping her way to the middle that gets revealed over the course of the movie.
No, I didn't notice that. That's cool.
Yeah. Also, when Moochie's body, Spinner's body, is dumped in the alley, there's a reflection of a Chinese symbol for death. And when they reenact Moochie's death in the ice show, there's like a Chinese symbol for dead rhino. I read about that. Yeah. So just some fun stuff visually going on.
Yeah. Attention to detail.
Yeah.
You could tell they cared when they made this movie.
Another great Randolph line after they've become friends. He's urging Smoochie to keep his dignity, unlike I did. And then he spills hot soup in his lap. He goes, "Ah, my balls, they're on fire."
I think we've all had moments like that.
Yeah, like the song says, we all got our bad days.
And Randolph has a lot of them.
Yeah, all of Randolph's bad days have happened consecutively in the last 6 months. another cool shot is when they burn Smoochie in effigy after he's revealed as a Nazi. Like, they have a Smoochie, Smoochie costume on fire. It's really disturbing, actually, to watch.
That is the type of thing that would happen, though. Like, it's disturbing to watch because it's too real.
Yeah. It's like, I can't imagine, like, a beloved childhood hero turning out to be that controversial and then, you know, watching people burn his costume on TV. There's another thing I saw in here.
It also kind of, like, mirrors the scene where Randolph was gonna set himself on fire.
Oh, yeah, good point. It's a theme. I like when Rainbow Randolph is busted and the female FBI agent says, "Freeze, cocksucker." Like, I couldn't help wondering if she, like, practiced various variations of that and then went with cocksucker for the actual bust.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe she did something different every take and that's just what they liked.
Could be, yeah. They're like, just throw in some vulgarity. Like, the line says freeze. And like, yeah, it needs something else. Just throw something in there. Freeze, cocksucker. Perfect.
Well, they want to let you know what type of going to be.
Yeah, it's got to establish the tone after the diabetes inducing "Friends Come in All Sizes" song.
I also I loved the "My Stepdad's Not Mean, He's Just Adjusting"
yes song. I was just gonna bring that one up too. Maybe my favorite song in the in the whole movie. "My Stepdad's Not Mean, He's Just Adjusting." It's such a cute song, and it's weirdly specific. Like, you feel like Sheldon has a stepfather named Stan who was mean to him. And, you know, it feels like the song is telling us something about Sheldon's own personal history. And I like that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a big fan of comedy music in general, but that's just particularly funny to me because it's not supposed to be comedy music in the context of the movie, but it's hysterical.
But remember, if he is ever abusive to you or mommy, what are the magic numbers? Just that serious turn cracks me up.
It's too good. I can't. I'm going to go watch it again.
Oh, if I had time, I probably would too. Never get tired of Death to Smoochie.
Yeah, I was just excited that you knew what it was when I brought up the idea of doing the episode.
Yeah. Because I hadn't even considered it. I don't even think it's on my, like, massive list of potential topics.
Nice.
So, yeah. I love it when someone comes up with something like, of course, why haven't we done that one yet?
Well, it's been a delight for sure.
Did you have any other notes about the movie that we...
No, note I did have is I know that you always do what is the character's guilty pleasures, but it is so hard in this movie because all of these people's guilty pleasures are, like, right out on their sleeve.
Oh yeah, but I like to challenge myself by getting into ones that are not obviously on screen. Just like, what are the ones we don't see? So if you want, we can move to that and talk about it. Where you pick a character for me.
Sure, go for it.
You pick a character for me, and I'll pick a character for you, and we'll get into it.
Let's see. Let's go with Stokes, John Stewart's character.
Oh, good one. And then you can do. I'm curious to know what his less obvious guilty pleasure is, because his main one is on screen, or maybe he's pretty proud of it. But what is Bucky Ding Dong's guilty pleasure? I feel like Stokes just likes putting himself in impossible situations, because like we talked about, he's the one who cast Sheldon because he's squeaky clean. Like, I think there's even a line about how he's a, or maybe it's a Nora line, where he's a bottle of syrup with legs. He's just that sweet.
Yeah.
So he's completely free of any controversy, but it's revealed that he wants him to fail. or he wants him to fall in line with the Parade of Hope. He's part of that whole gambit.
Yeah.
That whole scheme.
Good one.
So I feel like he creates these life puzzles for himself. Like, I'm going to put myself in an impossible situation and figure out how to get my way out of it. And this is just the one time it doesn't really work out for him, where he is forced to collude with Burke to assassinate Smoochie. And that's just a last ditch effort. And he gets himself killed by the Irish mob for it. Yeah. I assume he dies at the end.
I can see that. Buggy's hard because, like, all I want to do is crack jokes about how he's, like, I want to say his guilty pleasure is methadone. or his guilty pleasure is the Rainbow Randolph show.
I like to think that maybe Rainbow Randolph was the one that came right after Bucky or Buggy. But he's like, yeah. God damn that asshole. Damn it, he puts on a good show. This is really fun. I didn't do anything nearly this good.
I guess that makes it deeper if you kind of consider it like being a cycle like that. If Buggy hates Randolph for that reason, and then Randolph hates Sheldon.
Yeah. This weird chain of hatred, and then they secretly like admire each other or come to admire each other over time. I also think maybe he's not really a heroin addict. He just likes he likes people leaving him alone. And the best way to do that is to pretend to be a heroin addict.
That's his guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
It's pretty. We got time. You want to do another one?
No.
You want to pick another one for me?
Do another.
Yeah. Do another round.
Guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Do another.
How about Harvey Fierstein's character?
Oh, damn, that's good. I want to give you an obscure, a little one too. Oh, do I don't even know if I wrote it down. The little guy, the crinkle kid, the Rhinette.
Angelo.
Do Angelo. I feel like Fierstein's character. He runs this incredibly corrupt, dangerous charity, the Parade of Hope. But I feel like once he skims enough money to make himself comfortable, he donates the rest to like a real charity. He'll give it all away to like Heifer International or something, like, or Red Cross. He's like, I don't need this. I can actually help people. He just likes the thrill of running a corrupt charity.
You are much better at this game than I am.
I've had a lot of practice.
I don't know what's wrong with me, but every time I'm like, they like to take bubble baths, but I just think that's my guilty pleasure and I'm projecting.
Oh man, if I was a little person, I think I'd like bubble baths a lot more. Because, you know, every bubble bath is, you know, huge to you. Like, that's the thing. I can't do bubble baths at 6 feet tall because it's like I can barely submerge myself and it's just not that enjoyable.
Yeah, but, I'm 5'2". But
a massive, so like, hot tub size bubble bath, I would totally be up for that. So I think you're probably right there.
He does like to pamper himself. We see him kind of like cooking for himself. And
he likes to cook. He likes to. Yeah. He doesn't care about his job. That's just money, but it pays for him to do these little things at home by himself. I like that.
For sure.
His spaghetti did not look good. Or it wasn't spaghetti. It was like rigatoni or something. But his sauce looked like thin ketchup.
Just like tomato paste.
Yeah. It did not look appetizing.
He needs some some herbs and spices in that.
Exactly. A meat would be nice. Like,
you're right.
Some ground turkey would really make that pop.
That's his guilty pleasure, meatless sauces.
He's like, I don't need meat to have fun. He could just be a vegetarian. That's no problem with that, but
yeah, but at least some veggies, come on.
Yeah, I mean, that works too. Like, put some grilled zucchini in your spaghetti.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
It would be really good, I guarantee it. But you're right, herbs. Like, do not shy away from the herbs. All right, well, what do you got to plug, Kimber?
I am a busy person at the moment. Of course, every other week on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, we do Odd Shaped Panel, and that's on Odd Shaped Channel on YouTube. We are also doing a Twin Peaks recap at 8 p.m. on Wednesday nights, as long as the show is running, and Fan Friction this season. We are on break for that, but definitely look out for that on the Tough Channel. I'm the current champion, so I'm sure I will be fighting to defend my belt throughout next season.
That's awesome.
Also, you can get a hold of me on Twitter at Kimberbatch_OSP.
Yep, and I'll put all your links and stuff in the show notes so people can go right in there and click on them.
Awesome.
Our Twitter is at @QuoteGuilty. My Twitter is at @Play_Architect. You can find us at facebook.com/QuoteUnquoteGuilty or email us at @QuoteUnquoteGuilty@gmail.com or contribute to our Patreon page at patreon.com/WordSalad, which supports the other Word Salad Production podcast, as well as gives you access to exclusive content. We have podcasts now that are just on Patreon. Like, we're just doing them for Patreon. When we get around to them, they've been super fun. So check those out. I try to put my episodes up early on there for people. Cadavercast does that sometimes when he has time to edit and get them up early. But yeah, we're doing our best to make it worthwhile for people to become patrons and support us. And it is always greatly appreciated. And Kimber, it's greatly appreciated for you to come back on the show and talk about this awesome movie. I'm very grateful to you for taking the time.
Of course, man. I always have a blast coming on the show. And if I think of any other hidden gems that maybe we can talk about, I would love to join you again sometime.
Absolutely. I got to hit up Tom as well, because he's given me some ideas and we just haven't coordinated a recording, and I haven't checked out some of the ones he wants to do. But yeah, always a pleasure having you guys on.
Oh, thanks so much, man.
All right. Well, that does it for us. Thank you, Kimber. And thank you, Internet.
Thank you.
Good night.
Friends come in all sizes, that's a fact, it's true. All the colors of rainbow, from mauve to blue. Their names are different, the shoes don't match. Some like to toss while others to catch. One might say grasp while the other says snatch.
This podcast is a Word Salad production. Wonky Oranges, Righteous Dragons.
I'm done with this.
Friends come in all sizes, friends come in all sizes, friends come in all sizes, yes they do.
And you know what else comes in all sizes? Our Rainbow Randolph products. They're there online for you at rainbowrandolph.com. Log on. It's not free.